You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
We are one day shy of that special day of love and romance and family and marriage and all of those good things. That's what we're going to be talking to you about this evening. Welcome to the program this Saturday night, February the 13th. I'm your host, James Edwards, and it is another ladies' night on TPC. So what we're going to be doing, a very special Valentine's presentation, during which I've invited a collection of outstanding female guests who will offer you their thoughts on dating, traditional roles for women at home and in politics, building strong marriages, and raising healthy families. We did this last year, and we may have done it before even that, but I know we did it last year, and it was a smash hit, not only with the audience, but even with yours truly. It was one of the shows on the calendar last year that really stood out, so we wanted to make it a fixture. It's amazing that you can still create new fixtures even after 16 years, now our 17th year on the air, but indeed we do, and we will continue that with a very festive calendar coming up over the course of the next few weeks. On the near horizon in March, we've got the March Around the World series, which we just debuted last year. Even after all these years, we're going to be doing that again. And then, of course, in April, the Confederate History Month series. So we've got a lot of interesting special programming coming up for you over the course of the next couple of months. But it all begins tonight with our Valentine's Day show. So as I said, we had this collection of ladies on with us last year on this particular broadcast. And it was such a good time and such an important message, I felt, that we wanted to do it again and even improve upon it. So we got to work on this a few days ago after last week's show, and I'm pleased to tell you that all of the ladies who were my first choices for tonight's show accepted the invitation. And I think between the half dozen of them that you'll be hearing from tonight, they have selected just a wonderful array of topics that will really bring my vision for this show into sharp focus. So that's what we're going to be doing, and I can't wait to get to it. Now, we could have filled this show. Listen, and I got to say this, ladies and gentlemen, you probably tire of hearing me say this because I say it every year, but I think, if I do say so myself, so far we are giving to you, or have given to you this year, quintessential TPC. I think we've gotten off to the best start this year of any year that we've been on the air. I am very pleased with the selection of guests that we brought to you from the first week of the year, our first broadcast of 2021, all the way through last week. Just a wonderful variety of guests tackling a variety of important topics, and they're all important topics, okay? So we could have done a normal show tonight during which we would have talked about the news of the week, certainly the farce that was the second impeachment, of course, just hours ago, Donald Trump defeated the impeachment. He was acquitted for the second time. He's now 2-0 in impeachments, the most acquitted president in American history, as it were. And we could have talked about that, and it would have been important, and it would have been good radio. We'd have had some guests on to talk about that, and we certainly could have built a show around that. But these are issues that rise and fall, okay, with the sun. They are in the news one week and not in the news next. What we're going to be talking about tonight is eternal family building. And I'm going to bring this up with Dissident Mama, who's going to be our first of the featured guests that are coming your way tonight. Be sure to check her out at dissidentmama.net. Rebecca is a fantastic voice for our people. But I'm going to be talking to her about when this all fades away, and it will fade away, this nightmarish so-called woke society that we find ourselves suffering through right now will eventually fade away. It cannot endure. It will not endure. And when it does fade away, the family will be the foundational cornerstone upon which our society and civilization will be rebuilt. So that is why having a show like we're having tonight is something that we need to take the time to do. And we certainly had a few shows of this particular nature back around Thanksgiving through Christmas. We were having a lot of these guests on who were talking about these eternal issues, as I put it, rather than the day-to-day what's in the headlines. And again, that is important. And again, we will get to that. By the way, I mean, next week we'll be right back on it. That isn't going to go away. In fact, the Barnes Review just had a fantastic, I had it right in my hand, fantastic new issue of the Barnes Review has just been released, and in which they ask the question, what will the post-Trump world look like for whites? So I'm going to reach out to Paul Angel, the editor of the Barnes Review, try to get him back on next week. Brad Griffin, by the way, we need to get Brad back on. He has done a series of articles about what the post-Trump Republican Party is looking like. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have a huge white pill, before we get down to tonight's special broadcast, let me just tell you, here's a post-election poll of Republican voters from an establishment polling company. I'm about to rattle off some stats to you very quickly. And if anything, the events of the past 4 years have further radicalized whites and prompted them to come to terms with racial reality. So keep in mind, these statistics that I'm about to read to you represent 75 million plus people, half the electorate and a majority of white voters. These are numbers we can win with if these people can ever be organized and properly led. But listen to this, 75 million people. This is the snapshot of their mindset and thought process right now. This is a post-election poll of Republican voters. 92% see Trump voters. 92% of Trump voters see the media as being identical with the Democratic Party. 92% of Republican voters rank Antifa as a high or severe threat. 89% of Trump voters see Christianity as being under attack. 87% of Trump voters see Christianity as essential to American greatness. Now listen to this. This is where it gets really interesting. 87% of Trump voters, which means 87% of Republican voters, are concerned about anti-white discrimination. 80% of Trump voters reject white privilege theory. 68% of Trump voters reject systemic racism. 64% of Republican voters say that race is extremely important or very important to their identity. Folks, this is hugely encouraging. And Brad has done, at Occidental Dissent, a series of articles on how the post-Trump Republican Party has been filled. We won the people without knowing it. Now, the results of that victory have not yet manifested themselves in our daily lives. But stay tuned. This thing is not over. There is hope to be had in the future, and it begins tonight with these ladies. We're going to get to them right after this. Here they come.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosherified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Just hold me, make me tell you I'm in love with you. Thrill me, thrill me, walk me down the lane where shadows will be, hiding love is just the same as will be.
Folks, the Valentine's Day special broadcast of TPC is officially underway now, and all of the ladies coming on tonight are special to me. They're dear friends, but there is one that you'll hear from who is special to me above all, and that is my wife, who is here with me this evening. Keith Alexander, by the way, has the night off. It is Valentine's Day weekend, of course, so he's out catting around tonight, but we'll have him back next week. But in any event, I know I have a little bit of an echo there. I'm trying to work on that. There we go. My wife is here, and happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I know I asked you to come on because everybody likes a good story. So share with them your extended family, too, because you've been a part of this, obviously, as long as I have been, and then some. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But let's go back. I mean, how did this whole thing start? I mean, it had to start with the day we met. And I've told that story many times on the show.
You sure have.
Every year, probably. But maybe you can do it in your own
way. But it is a story that I'm proud of, so I don't mind sharing over and over and over. Well,
how did it happen?
I'm not as good at this as you are. You talk so well, and I get so flustered.
Well, that's okay. You look good while you're doing it, though, and that's important.
That's very sweet. But we were in the church choir room,
waiting on. You didn't go to the church.
I didn't go to the church. I was really good friends with the pastor's daughter, and she had invited me. And so we're sitting in the church choir room, waiting on our assignment for who we're going to be driving with. And I overheard the pastor saying that there wasn't enough drivers, and I watched him walk over to James, who was drawing on the chalkboard at the front of the choir room, and asked him, "Hey, do you mind taking a few of the young girls with you and follow the caravan?" And you're like, "Sure, I thought I was just taking luggage, but sure, I'll take a few." So I immediately ran to the restroom so I could be the last chosen. And
now,
when
why
I
did
got,
you want to be the last chosen?
Because I thought you were so handsome. And you just looked so good in your little khaki shorts and your nice, clean button polo shirt. And I just knew that I needed to
be in that car.
Well, so it happened for me. It worked. My plan worked. And I was able to ride with you. And it was a great 3 hours.
Well, it was the first 3 hours of the rest of my life, I guess you could say. And when, you know, of course, we still have Pastor on the show from time to time, and he, as I joke with him, he put luggage in the car and my wife, as it would turn out to be. But the first impression I had of her was, of course, exactly the same. She was a little young at that time, but by the time she was 18, I mean, if you could have seen her at 18, 20, she's still a 10. Even now in her mid-30s, even now as I'm 40, still a 10 to be sure. But at 18, 20 years old when we were dating, she was the inspiration for all of these songs you're going to be hearing tonight. Physical beauty inspires artistic beauty. And maybe that, at the end of the day, was what actually gave life to this radio program. Because I can remember when you were 16, you were out campaigning for me when I was running for state representative. And then it was just a couple of years after that. That we started this show. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I got to say this while she's here and while she's listening, because she doesn't often make it to the studio because, of course, she's busy raising the kids and tending to the home. But every piece of correspondence you've ever received, whether it's a gift package or a letter, has been handled by her.
That's
she
true.
Either put the label on it or the stamp, or she
sealed
it.
Stamp stuff, steal and label.
And she's been doing
that.
I
didn't mean steal, seal.
For 17 years. And one of the ladies that isn't going to be on tonight, we'll have her on soon, is Lana Lochtiff. And Lana and I were texting a few days ago, and she was just saying, "Hey, what are y'all up to?" And I said, "Well, we're actually out of town. We're on a vacation." She goes, "A vacation? You know you can't take a vacation. You know there's never a day off for people like us." And she's absolutely right.
So true.
When you run your own business, when you do something like this, you're never fully off work. You're either on alert waiting for the next attack, or there's something needing your attention. You're never fully off work when you
there's always something.
Proprietor.
Yes,
yeah, that's absolutely
always
right.
Something.
So, I mean, yes, I can go on vacation, but there's always something that needs my attention related to the work of the show. So I want to thank my wife publicly and to her face right here. And I say this
all
the time.
Well, you do it all the time anyways, but thank you.
Most normal people on Saturday nights enjoy time with their family. That's their one night off. It's the night of the week that we're always occupied, or that I'm always occupied. So she sacrificed a lot of Saturday nights. You're never off work. I'm never off work. There's a lot of late nights. It's a lot more that goes into it behind the scenes than you would ever know, ladies and gentlemen. But she knows it all too well. And it's a sacrifice that she's made her entire life. And that's the least I could thank her for. Now we could get into the whole...
Well, God has a plan for each of us, and I know that this was what I was called to do, to be your wife, and this is just part of it. This is, you know, and I'm happy to stand by you and support this and do whatever I need to do for my part to help this move along, and I'm happy to be here, so...
Well, I'm happy to have you here, and I love you, and
I
got to say this. I mean, Valentine's Days change over the years, but we had a very special one last night.
Oh, my goodness. It was so sweet.
Listen, I always, always, always take my daughter to a daddy-daughter dance. And we've been doing this since she was old enough to walk.
It's been such a big deal, yes.
It's a big thing on the Edwards family calendar. I take her every year.
She was three.
Since she was old enough to walk. But they didn't do it this year because of COVID. Now, we were able to slip in under the wire last year right before COVID, and I was able to take her, but we couldn't do
it
this year.
But obviously, I'm not going to let her miss a daddy-daughter dance.
So what did you do?
Because they're so special. It's just so sweet, the bond that they have. And I want to make sure that this memory is given every single year. So instead of going to a place for the dance, we held one here. And I moved all of the furniture out of the living room and completely decked our living room out into a Valentine Day wonderland. So we had all her little friends come over and they got to have their daddy-daughter dance, and it was so sweet. They had such a fun time.
Folks, you couldn't, there's no way I can paint a verbal picture that would do justice to the way my wife decorated the house. I mean, it was better. It was better than Christmas.
I really enjoyed doing
for Christmas.
It.
But
we had a charcuterie board with candy and one with cookies and, of course, little finger foods for the kids. It was a great time. Lots of music, lots of games, lots of laughs. It was sweet.
It was a great night. She made it happen. She's made so much happen. I guarantee you this show wouldn't be on the air if it wasn't for her. She's one of those people behind the scenes that makes it all go. Without her support, I wouldn't be able to do it. And it's just been a wonderful story that continues. I've been on the air 17 years with you all, but I've been with her since 2001. And we got...
Well, I have a lot of blessings, too, getting to be your wife.
Oh, yeah.
So
not... That's for sure. I mean,
it's not like I'm not...
We'll get into that next segment.
Right.
No, but listen, our story has been an amazing one. I proposed to her on the steps of Cinderella Castle, and I still remember there was a mom and her little daughter there at the time, and then when we were proposed,
I thought I was getting an ankle bracelet, and I thought he was getting down on one knee to give me the ankle bracelet that I had been eyeing all day, and I thought he had surprised me and gotten it. And you proposed. It was so sweet. And the lady behind us said, "See, dreams really do come true."
Yeah, well, I know.
It was really sweet.
She's, being, that's the theme for Disney World, of course, dreams do come true or dreams come true, whatever. See, dreams really do come true down here. And we I'm proud of our story. We dated for 2 years before we got engaged. Then we were engaged for 1 year. So that was a 3-year courtship or whatever you want to call it. And then we were married for 3 years before we had kids. So it gave us the opportunity to have so many distinct seasons of life. And we were able to explore and discover life together for a time before,
And I think that's important.
Yes. And we were able to grow together and explore and discover one another. And it's, couldn't imagine taking the journey with anybody but you. And I love you. And you look really good tonight.
Stop.
But hey, listen, she may be poking around. She's here at the studio, so when the rest of the ladies come on, she might say hello and chime
in
here.
Yeah, Caroline's
there.
Kind of in and out of the
nap.
Yeah,
we got the baby up here. We got our youngest, our third up here. But Dissident Mama's coming up next, and we'll be talking to Rebecca.
But if I don't get to everyone, don't feel like I'm...
You're all important to her, as you are to me.
That's
right. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The verdict is not guilty.
The yeas are 57. The nays are 43. Two-thirds of the senators present not having voted guilty. The Senate judges that the respondent, Donald John Trump, former president of the United States, is not guilty as charged in the article of impeachment.
Former President Donald Trump acquitted by the Senate Saturday with 7 Republicans and all Democrats voting to convict, but falling short of the 2-thirds necessary. In a statement released after the vote, President Trump decried the trial as a witch hunt. He also thanked his defense team and promised there would be more to come from the Make America Great movement in the coming months. It was the former president's first public statement since the beginning of the trial. This is USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Rates, policy, points, and availability vary by state.
Following up with the day's top story, former President Donald Trump acquitted in his second impeachment trial by a 57-43 vote, the Senate finding him not guilty of inciting the riots at the Capitol on January 6th. Trump defense lawyer Bruce Castor says House impeachment managers left several holes in their case. He tells Fox News that multiple aspects of their arguments were working against them.
They failed miserably on all sorts of grounds, not the least of which is the jurisdiction over somebody out of office. The Constitution is quite plain that once you're out of office, that's the only active remedy upon the bringing of an impeachment article. And then, of course, they were wrong on the law as it relates to the First Amendment and due process. They even blew it when they wrote the article of impeachment by failing to break it out into counts. So any one of those things was a loser for them.
This is USA Radio News.
Heart for me, oh yeah. Now I don't mean to bother you, but I'm in distress. There's danger of me losing all of my happiness. For I love a girl who don't know I exist, and this you can fix. So Cupid, draw back your bow and let
so hard for me. I got to admit, it's hard for me to break through these songs and start a segment because it's the best music ever made. And I want you to know that I handpicked each and every song that we're featuring tonight as some of my favorite music. If you like the music, send me an email. If you don't like it, send Keith an email. But a more appropriate song, thank you, Sam. A more appropriate song for a Valentine's Day show than Cupid, I would like to know. But hey, now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get down to serious business. We've got Rebecca, Dissident Mama herself, joining us as we begin this parade of outstanding women, the likes of which you need to hear from. Rebecca is a truth warrior, a Jesus follower, a wife, a boy mom, lifelong learner. She's an Orthodox Christian, traditional Southerner, a homeschooling mom. She loves freedom, Virginian by birth, Carolinian by choice. What's so interesting to me about her is that she is a recovering feminist, socialist, atheist, graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and retired mainstream journalist turned domesticated belle and rabble-rousing rhetorician. Introduced you to Dissident Mama last year, I believe, during Confederate History Month series. Great to have her back tonight. Rebecca, how are you? Thank you for accepting the invitation to be with us on Valentine's Day weekend.
Of course. It's an honor, James. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we've got a lot to get to and not a lot of time to do it, but I know we covered this when you came on the show with us last year, but give us just a very quick reminder of how you came to be that domesticated belle, that boy mom, that homeschooler, homeschool teacher, coming from what you said were your formative years.
Well, I guess the short answer would be, I think it's just in my DNA, and I was just briefly brainwashed throughout the 90s. And so I kind of just came back to my roots, and I think a lot of it is my generation, too. I'm a Gen Xer. And so I think I had some, some pretty good, education from family and even probably from my schools and just my surroundings. You know, I grew up in Richmond back in the day and it was pretty conservative. So I just kind of wandered off the plantation for a while and, getting married and having kids and becoming a Christian helped bring me back.
Yeah, but you didn't only just come back, Rebecca. You came back as a force. And what you do at DissidentMama.net, I don't mind telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that she is one of my favorite writers. I read everything she puts out. You should be following her. And we've got her linked at our promo tweet there at the top of my Twitter handle. You can follow her on Twitter, but certainly bookmark DissidentMama.net. And the things you write about there are so perfectly aligned with the message I wanted to bring to the audience tonight. I don't even know where to begin, but where would you begin?
Oh, I guess you wanted to talk about one of the most recent pieces I wrote, where my kids and I did some history traveling and where I'm trying to instill in them and I think I've been doing it pretty successfully because I've been doing it since day one, and I have 12-year-old twins and a 13-year-old big brother, telling them that we have heroes. We have Christian heroes. We have Southern heroes, and they've been through hard times too. All you have to do is study history to know that we're not the first people on planet Earth to ever go through hard times. We're not the first people to be persecuted. So looking to these strong heroes that we can relate to, you know, our ancestors Christian-wise and Southern-wise, really helps my kids not only know we're not going through something that people haven't been through before, but to see how they handled it, to see how they were, you know, still, you know, lived up to their duty, and they were still loyal, and they still fought for what they knew was right. And that's what we're going to do. And we're, I don't want my children to ever feel like victims, even though they are most certainly in the crosshairs of the woke warriors. But, you know, it's all that kind of thing. So kind of doing history and learning together, because some of this stuff I know, but a lot of it I don't. And so we're learning together. And so it's kind of like killing a lot of birds with one stone.
What you're talking about resonates with me so much because, well, first of all, I mean, I love doing that, too, taking the kids, taking the family on a field trip. We were up at Fort Pillow just a few months ago, and anytime I can take them to a historical site, it's wonderful to do. But we homeschool, as do you, and that was another thing. My wife was just on in the last segment, another thing. I mean, just homeschooling the kids. I mean, how important that is if you have the opportunity to do that, and not everyone can. But if you have any chance at all to do it, obviously, I mean, it goes without saying you should. And from time to time, my daughter will come into my home office and we'll do history together because, of course, that's just a subject so near and dear to my heart. And she'll read and just reading about the Vikings, reading about Rome, reading about all of these, you know, historical societies from antiquity. I just love getting into that with her, and when she'll read something, I'll have her pause. And of course, we use Christian homeschool curriculum, so it's pretty accurate. It's pretty good. There's not much in there you have to correct, but there's certainly a lot of things you can add to, and you can add to it so much more by actually going to these places. So what we're talking about tonight is with all the ladies, different ladies, different topics, but dating, traditional roles for women at home and in politics, building strong marriages, and raising healthy families. And I think one of the way you're doing it, Rebecca, obviously homeschooling, you share your thoughts with all of us through your website, but being able to take the kids to these battlefields. I mean, in the blog entry you just mentioned, the one that I said we should focus on tonight, or that I would like to focus on tonight, was you took your kids on a tour through the Shenandoah Valley, and you were going to all these sites, the site where Stonewall Jackson entered into heaven, and just it's so heartwarming and nearly tear jerking. But what is the reaction that your boys? You've got three boys. What is their reaction to go to these places? Can you see it? Is it palpable? What do you feel as though is being accomplished there?
Yeah, I think it's definitely palpable because we started in Guinea Station, where Stonewall Jackson died, and then so we're starting from his death site, and then we go to Chancellorsville, where he was at the peak of his career, you know, the most famous soldier on planet Earth at that time. And then we went to Manassas, where he got the name Stonewall, where, you know, they were just kicking butt and taking names. And so it was interesting. We just did it because that made sense from where we were coming. But it was interesting to do it in that order. And, you know, to be exactly where he was when he got shot. Oh, we also went to see, you know, where his arm is buried. And, you know, they've heard all these stories where Lee said, you know, he may have lost his left arm, but I lost my right. And so, like, we're standing on the ground, you know, where his arm is. And, you know, it's pretty freaky. And they like it, you know, freaky in a good way. They just think it's, they're just history buffs. So, you know, they're not losing their minds, but you can tell they're appreciating it, you know. And, you know, just walking on the steps where it all took place, you know, I think they think it's pretty fascinating. And I know I do too, because I've always liked history, but actually being there. And, you know, their dad took them a few years ago to Antietam and Lexington and Gettysburg, and they were really blown away by that. That was the first time I think they had really done the battlefields hardcore. And so not that all that I did with them was anything lesser, but, you know, we do it a lot. So it's not anything weird to them. We went to Petersburg where the siege of Petersburg, and we saw the crater, which doesn't even look like a crater. It's tiny, you know, and thinking about all that happened there. And then we went to the site where AP Hill died, and it's like in the middle of a neighborhood, like back in the woods. I mean, nobody even knows it's there. I mean, that was really freaky because it's just a stone's throw from the road. And in this neighborhood, it's just so random and forgotten, but we don't forget. And we go there, and that was really neat. So in COVID, we took advantage of it because I wanted my kids to just have as normal a possible as an existence that they could have during that. And so battlefields are a great place to go. The museums are closed. Nobody's giving you PC tours. You're just figuring it out as you go. And another cool thing is the signage at a lot of these national parks is still pretty good because I guess they haven't been contextualized yet. That's, I guess, just an expense the woke people haven't gotten to yet. So even if you haven't done your history before, the signage is actually pretty good. I'm surprised. I'm sure that'll be gone soon. So, yeah, I mean, it's great, and it's a wonderful thing to do when everything else is closed.
Well, you're so right, and I envy you. I haven't been able to take I haven't taken yet my kids to some of the Eastern Theater battlefields. Of course, I've been there, and it's just such – it's almost a spiritual type of thing to go to – I don't want to sound blasphemous, but to go to Lexington and to visit the graves of Lee and Jackson. And but we have toured, of course, some of the battlefields of the Western Theater, Shiloh and Fort Pillow. And we were at Fort Pillow, as I just mentioned, a couple of months back last summer. And to get down on your knees in front of your children and say, this is where your heroes, your ancestors, this is where they fought for you. And to tell them, I mean, kids soak that up, and it's so important. We should be the ones to educate our kids, and not the left, and not the enemy. We'll talk more about that with
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Ladies and gentlemen, do yourself a favor tonight. Go to dissidentmama.net and bookmark it. I am there as we speak right now, hand to God, here in the studio. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the top. You know, she's got a podcast herself, up to episode 29 now. I was one of the featured guests on that one, and proud to say I was. Check her out. Check out her articles. Follow her. She's doing it the right way. And what we're talking about a moment ago before the break, obviously, taking kids to these sites, getting down, looking them in the eye, telling them what is right, what is true, and what is not, and who their heroes are and were, and why we must emulate them in our own lives and take them to the place where their heroes trod. If there's any way to help it, folks, don't send them to be indoctrinated 8 hours a day at a government school where you have to work on the weekends to deprogram them. Don't do that. Don't give them to the enemy. And I am so blessed in my life. It has been a wonderful life. It's been a life where I've been under relentless attack and constant struggle. But it has been a wonderful life where I've met wonderful people. It has been a life worth living, an interesting life. And I am so glad to be able to have a show where I can present to you people like this, guests like Rebecca, to live a life where I have a wife who's a stay-at-home mom who homeschools our children. It is a wonderful life. It is a life worth living. And that's the thing I wanted to talk to you about, Rebecca. I mean, especially you, out of the guests we're having this evening, I'd like to get your take on this. This dystopian, nightmarish, woke society that we find ourselves suffering through right now, I made mention of this at the top of the opening segment, it's going to fade away. It will have to fade away. It's inevitable that it will fade away. It's not going to endure. And when it does collapse, our society and civilization will be rebuilt upon the foundation of the nuclear family. And that is why it is so important that we stress family, and rather than every single week on this show talking about the current events or the news headlines, while we talk about what I consider to be eternal family, lineage, all of these things that you're doing. Could you speak to that for us?
Yeah, well, you know, I want to speak a second about homeschooling. You know, you had said, if you can possibly homeschool, you can. You know, I understand that people can't. And I would say that I agree with that. There are always exceptions to the rule. But I do think that anybody can homeschool. And I think your family must share a worldview. You know, and you just cannot deprogram a kid enough if they go to a bad public school. And now in my state of North Carolina, they just, you know, we're going to have critical theory from, you know, early education through 12th grade and, you know, all this kind of craziness where, you know, my sons would be taught that they're the cause of all these problems. Every problem in the world is because of them. And, you know, one of the reasons history is so important is because their identity is being, you know, they're being kind of groomed in this identitylessness is what I call it. And I want them to know their heritage, but they have to know their worldview with Christ at the center and know who they are and where they came from. And I think that has to be done within the family. And you know, I live in a 1,400 square foot house with five people, and my 13-year-old is almost 5'11". So there are sacrifices you have to make. You may not be able to have a Lexus and a Mercedes, but you know what? What is more important than raising your children to know God, to make him known, and to understand who he is and where he came from and where he's going, what you want him to do? So, yes, you know, we're telling our boys, of course, they're going to do whatever they want to do, but because they share our worldview and we will impress upon them, we want them to get married young, have lots of babies. If you date, it's because you're going to find a mate. You know, we don't want them just willy-nilly going out dating girls just because. It's like, okay, well, you're trying to find a wife for marriage, you know, these types of things. And this is extremely countercultural. You know, people look at me like I have two heads sometimes when I tell them that, even sometimes homeschool moms, but this is just how I think they're going to have to navigate the world to have children and progeny and grandbabies and great grandbabies, because who knows how long this dystopia is going to last. It, you know, it could be the long game where it is our great, great, great grandkids digging our way out of this. I mean, we just ultimately don't know. And so all they can do is do right by Christ, possibly prepare for martyrdom. The Christian church is being persecuted. Sometimes it's fellow Christians, in air quotes, doing some of the persecuting. So it's crazy times out there. But if your family does not share a worldview, I mean, there's no way it's going to perpetuate, you know? So that would be one of my main things. And then try to find a wife. Obviously, if she shares your worldview, you know, the man is going to be the head of the family. All these things you're going to agree upon before you walk down the aisle, right? So, you know, you're going to have a stronger marriage if you agree on what the marriage even means from the beginning. So there's so many things. Now, my husband and I lucked out. Poor guy, he married a feminist. However, we, you know, and that was fine with him at the time, but we evolved together. A lot of people don't. And again, we're the exception to the rule. I know plenty of, you can think of plenty of examples where one person kind of becomes conservative and the other's liberal. How on earth can you have a home functioning with two? It's not a political thing. I mean, this is just, you need to be on the same page. You need to be on the same team. And if you're not starting off on that good foot, I mean, you know, James, marriage is hard enough. Anybody who's married will tell you that. It is hard enough. The devil is around you all the time. And if you're not starting off on that right foot, it's just going to be a bumpy road.
Rebecca, you said so much just then that I would like to follow up on. We could have had you for a full hour, and it wouldn't be enough time. My wife is here nodding her head, and she's listening, as is the rest of the audience. But Janice, we've got TPC favorite females coming up in the second and third hours. Kim coming up at the top of the second hour, followed by Megan, the Dixie Belle herself, then Janice, and Courtney from Alabama, who's essentially our mascot. But Janice is going to talk about how it is so essential for parents to be equally yoked and to be on the same page with regards to raising kids. I mean, your story is certainly a very interesting one and a rarity. But at the same time, you mentioned something that I should be sure to highlight, and that is the need, if it has been glossed over, it has not been done on purpose, but rather because we figured everyone would already know that we believe this to be true, the importance of a Christ-centered marriage. And I know that you're Orthodox. We've got some Orthodox listeners tuned in tonight. What would you like to say to the Orthodox community and to the need of families to be Christ-centered?
Yeah, I mean, we Orthodox, in normal times, you know, well, now I'm going to kind of an underground church, so I can't, you know, tell you all about it. People hush hush and secret.
Don't we all? We do things. Yes, yeah, we know.
But, you know, in normal times, you know, Orthodox people go to church a lot, you know. I would normally, you know, be on at church right now in normal times. But anyway, in, you know, you're praying all the time, you know, it is your entire identity is, you know, your Orthodox faith, you know, everything is born out of it. And so, yeah, I mean, I want to say, hey, Orthodox people, how you doing? But, yeah, I mean, it is who you are, and everything springs forth from that. And, you know, I know that other Christians are like that too, but that's one thing that, having been a Protestant and now an Orthodox, it is, yeah, I mean, you're doing your faith all the time, and it becomes preeminent in your life because you're practicing it. And in fact, in Orthodoxy, it says you're kind of like an athlete, you know, all this praying, you know, the venerating, the going to the church all the time, all the different kinds of services. It is almost like you're an athlete and, you know, you're training for your real home. So, yeah, it's something that, you know, we're not perfect at. We do drop the ball sometimes, but it's always there in the forefront of our life. So that's an amazing thing. And I'm so glad that we have always raised our kids as Christians, and that's something that I didn't have and my husband didn't have. And so, you know, that's something that's going to make them better husbands, better leaders of their family, better leaders Absolutely. Of their community. Yep. So, yeah.
Hey, well, I mean, this is just something that people need to be impressed upon before we close this opening hour. What a fast hour it's been, and it's going to be a quick show tonight with these ladies on. What a novelty. But at DissidentMama.net, she is a dissident mama who's adept at triggering leftist Yankees and neocons, and she bangs as loudly as she can at DissidentMama.net. But we wanted to be sure to impress upon everyone, and we should have done this straight off. Christ-centered. It's important. I met my wife at church. Rebecca, I'm sure that you would encourage people, those of us, those young men and women out there tuned in tonight. Church is a good place to find a spouse. The music is playing. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yes.
Hey, short and sweet. That's the answer. DissonantMama.net. Rebecca, thanks for leading the charge tonight. No. Well, that's all we had time for, really. Hey, but listen.
I didn't realize you were not going to be changed. Sorry.
Hey, great job starting us off tonight. We've got four more ladies coming. Stay tuned.